Creating performance models is one step in an effective strategy to improve pavement performance. Dr. Jorge Perazzi from the University of Texas at Austin joins the podcast to discuss important considerations for developing and applying performance models. Transportation infrastructure. It's what keeps our economy moving and gets people safely where they need to go. But maintaining safe, reliable infrastructure assets is a complex challenge that requires innovative solutions. I'm Nick Frank from Agile Assets, and I'll be your guide as we navigate through the complex and evolving world of infrastructure asset management. Every episode, you'll discover best practices, industry trends, and agency success stories that will help you improve your asset management strategies and get the most from your infrastructure funding. You'll learn how to save time, save money, and save lives while delivering safer, longer-lasting transportation networks. My guest today is Dr. Jorge Perazzi. Dr. Perazzi is a professor in the Department of Civil, Architectural, and Environmental Engineering at the University of Texas at Austin. He and his team conduct experimental research on a wide range of topics, including design and rehabilitation of pavements, accelerated pavement testing, applications of probability and statistics to pavement engineering problems, and pavement management systems. He chairs multiple Transportation Research Board committees and has published extensively in the field. Dr. Perazzi, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Nick, and good morning to everyone. It is really a pleasure to be here and to talk about one of my favorite subjects, pavement management.
Yeah, and a big focus today will be on some performance models. But before we get to some of that, can you tell me about your role at UT Austin?
I am a professor in the civil engineering department at the University of Texas at Austin. Within civil engineering, I am in the transportation group, and within transportation, my areas of teaching and research have to do with highway pavement materials, design, and performance. I also teach statistics and probability to engineers, and I do apply those tools quite a lot on my work and my research. I have been with UT Austin for 20 years now. I am also the director of the Texas component of the Center for Highway Pavement Preservation, which is a joint project between several universities, Michigan State University, University of Texas at Austin, University of Minnesota, University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, University of Hawaii, and others. And it's sponsored by the US DOT in collaborations with several of the state DOTs, TxDOT being one of those.
So it's safe to say you and I could go down a lot of different roads today on what we could talk about. But what we're going to focus on is pavement performance models. And then maybe at some other point, we'll get you on and we'll talk about some other things at another date. So at a base level, at a high level, what is a performance model?
In the context of pavement engineering and in its most basic form, a performance model is just an equation, a formula that is used to predict the condition of the highway as a function of time or traffic. There could be as many performance models in a pavement management system as distresses a highway agency choose to collect and report. For example, we could talk about one of the most common models, a model that could be used to predict rutting, which is the surface deformation of the road. In this case, a performance model would estimate how rut depth of the pavement increases with time. And you may ask, why is this important? Well, it is very important because as the pavement ruts, the potential for wetting ponding on the surface increase and increase the potential for hydroplaning and accidents. And some of those accidents could be severe and even fatal. So agencies need to know when critical levels of rutting and obviously of the other distresses may occur so they can plan ahead their maintenance and rehabilitation work. As they say, rather be safe than sorry.
Agreed. And you know, you touched on the pavement side of the importance of these performance models, but it's also important for bridge management as well, correct?
That is correct. And again, I briefly touched, as you say, on the issue of the importance, but I could expand a little bit on that. So among the various tasks that highway agencies have to accomplish is that of maintaining the surface transportation infrastructure in good and safe condition so as to provide mobility and connectivity to the public. And in our case, that applies to both pavements and bridges. All this have to be done with a limited budget, a budget that in real terms is usually reducing every year. On an annual basis, highway agencies have to make resource allocation decisions. Simply put, they have to decide where to apply the next dollar. One way of allocating resources could be to follow the worst first approach. Although at some level this could make sense, it is not wise and nor it is efficient way of allocating resources. Pavement and bridge management system, what they do is they allow us to evaluate the impacts of different resource allocation strategies so the agency could evaluate and select which is the most efficient strategy to apply on a given year. At the core of these management systems are decision tools which are based on performance models that allow us to predict the impact of the various decisions and to quantify those impacts.
And what are the different types of performance models that an agency could use?
I classify performance models into two main groups. And within each of those groups, there are different types. The two groups that I'm referring to are, on the one hand, models that predict the expected performance only. The other group are those models that predict the expected performance, but also provide some type of quantification of the uncertainty of such prediction. No matter which group we're talking about, all models make some use of data, statistics, and knowledge. Let me expand a little bit on this concept. Today, the most common models are those that allow agencies to estimate expected performance and some type of measure of uncertainty. This uncertainty can be used to carry out risk analysis or planning scenarios with different likelihood of happening. Some common types of models within this group are those models based on regression analysis. And this could be simple regression, multiple regression, nonlinear regression, discrete choice model, duration models, etc. There is a very large family of models within this group. Then in the 70s and 80s, another type of models commonly referred to as Markov chain models were applied in pavement management and became very popular because their formulation elegance and appeal and their estimation simplicity. However, they are based on the assumption that a pavement deteriorates from its current condition state to the next condition state independent of the time spent in the current state. In my opinion, this assumption does not necessarily apply to highway pavements. It applies slightly better in the case of bridge management. Another type of models also within this group are those known as Bayesian models, which are very attractive and reasonable and probably ideal for use by most highway agencies, as they allow periodical updating as technologies and the needs of the agency evolve with time. Finally, we have to mention the so-called deterministic models, which allows us to estimate potential performance, but do not provide any quantification of their precision and accuracy of those predictions. Today, I also would place models based on the various artificial intelligence techniques within this group. Today, artificial intelligence is applied almost in any aspect of our life, and it is ideal for very complex phenomena where the relationships cause-effect are not very clear. These models have probably the most potential for the future, but for pavement engineering applications, they are not there yet. These models are ideal for utilizing all sorts of information and data of different types, but tend to overfit the training data and are excellent to predict within the data set that was used for the development, but they tend to present some problems for predicting outside the training data set. Why I say this? In payment performance models, the so-called explanatory variables, for example, payment age, traffic volume, axle loads, structural capacity, etc., have a cost-effect relationship with the distress that we are trying to model. For example, everything else being equal, as axle load increase, the deterioration increases more rapidly. When using field data, for example, data contained on a state payment management system, there is always some level of endogeneity. That is, there are some intrinsic relations among some of those explanatory variables that are not so evident. And if we are not careful, models that overfit the data may produce erroneous predictions.
We've talked about what performance models are. We've talked about the importance. We've talked about the different types. Now, what's the kind of data that an agency needs to start developing these performance models?
Performance models, to start with, are data hungry, data intensive. Let me use the example of payment management, which is the area I am more familiar with. There are numerous distresses, probably too many to collect them all. So each agency has to decide what is important and what is cost effective to collect. In my opinion, as a minimum, the following distresses should be collected: the different types of cracking, surface rutting, roughness, friction, texture, graveling, faulting, and punch outs in the case of rigid payments, and probably a couple of others. These are the stresses that we want to predict with our performance models. What are some of the explanatory variables that we would like to have to estimate those distresses? Well, some of the most important are the traffic characteristics, both in terms of traffic volumes and axle loads. Also, it's essential to have the payment structure. That means, what are the layer thickness, what are the layer materials, and their strengths. But it's also important to know the environmental conditions, in particular, the temperature and moisture or precipitation. But it's also very important to know the drainage conditions. In terms of structure, it is important to know not just the last rehabilitation, but also what lies underneath, or the so-called work history.
You touched briefly on pavement management systems. And so, in your opinion, what would you say would be better to model? Would it be a composite score, or would it be individual distresses?
I don't think we do have to choose between individual distress or composite scores. What is critical is the intended use of these models or of this system. For effective payment management, you need to collect individual distress. There is no question about it. This is essential. Why? Because some conditions affect different distresses in different ways and sometimes in completely opposite manner. The simplest example is that of rutting and cracking. For example, warmer temperatures, typical of southern Texas, are critical for rutting, but they tend to minimize cracking. Thus, composite scores could tend to hide some of the individual effects. However, I would like to add that for reporting and preparing summaries for the agency administration, scores are simple to explain and understand. Higher levels official within a state highway agency are only interested in knowing whether the highway is in good conditions or not. They can care less about the percentage of fatigue cracking or the length of longitudinal cracking. So my short answer is that both are necessary, but individual distresses are essential.
And what would you say are some of the advantages and disadvantages of each approach?
Well, as I say, I don't want to make a decision between one and the other, because a large transportation agency such as TxDOT, they need both. They need both. The engineers, the districts, the divisions, they need to know their distresses. They need to know the individual distresses. They need to be able to predict the individual distresses so they can plan their maintenance and rehabilitation work. However, at one time, they need to discuss with the administration the budget allocations. And then to present to the administrators, they need the scores. They need one or two values that show very quick what's the condition of the network. And these scores are also used to present when the department has to present to the Transportation Commission, for example. Commissioners don't care about the individual distress. They need to know the big picture, what is the condition of the Texas network.
And planning is a big part of a lot of that, especially you mentioned when it comes around budget time and things like that. And so the ability to adjust and recalibrate has to be involved, I would imagine, for agencies to be able to adjust and calibrate their models.
Yes. Although most state DOTs in the U.S. in particular have implemented payment management systems, the performance models embedded into the payment management system are usually theoretical models based on experiments, which some of these experiments could be simple laboratory experiments. Some of them could be the result of accelerated payment testing. These models, although they are reasonable, they are usually not very accurate. Accurate models should be developed with local data contained in the state's own payment management system. I can only think of a handful of states that have been through the exercise of developing their own models and their own payment performance models. I will mention just a few. They are not the only ones, but they are the most notable examples. And those are Arizona, California, Washington, and indeed Texas. Texas models are today the reference for the nation. These models have been developed through collaboration and partnership between the TxDOT Research Office, the Maintenance and Construction Divisions, the various district personnel, private consultant, and state public universities. It takes this type of partnership and collaboration to accomplish such a complex task. But what is the key element? The key element is data. Quality data, accurate data. Without accurate data, models have little value. You could apply the most advanced statistical modeling technique, run the most sophisticated model in a supercomputer, but if your data set is of poor quality, so will be the results. As they say, garbage in, garbage out.
Great point. And following up on that, how frequently should agencies be updating their performance models to make sure that there is no garbage in, garbage out?
Highway agencies have to manage a highway network that provides reliable and accessible mobility to the user and to support economic growth. In order to do so, they need to allocate their limited resources to maintain and preserve the highway infrastructure to achieve a state of good repair and avoid the deterioration of their assets. In Texas, we are talking about a budget in the order of $1 to $2 billion per year. Accurate performance models could produce savings in the order of 10 to 20%. The cost of calibrating these models, even on an annual basis, is insignificant relative to the potential saving that implies having accurate models. However, on the other hand, annual calibration may not be practical. So in my opinion, a desirable updating should be carried every 4 to 6 years. It is important to highlight here that accurate models are not just an academic exercise. Better prediction will result in better allocation of resources, and the agency can identify which highways should be fixed, when and how, and to make the best possible use of the taxpayer dollar.
You've mentioned a few times pavement management systems. What would you say would be the benefit of integrating your PMS and, let's say, a maintenance management system to be able to track work history?
One could design a payment that is basically maintenance-free for 30, 40 years or even more. As a matter of fact, we have some of those payments in Texas, and they are usually serve very well our routes that carry the highest volume of traffic and the heavier axle loads. However, for the vast majority of Texas road network, this is not the most efficient approach. Unlike other civil engineering structures, highway payments are usually designed to be maintained on a cycle that varies, but is in the order of 6 to 12 years. Therefore, it is very important to keep accurate record of what is underneath the road surface. Unfortunately, we can only see the top layer, but we need to know what is below and in which condition it is. So the integration of payment management system and maintenance management systems, that they should be able to talk to each other, very comfortable, and they should be compatible. And this is crucial to know what is below the surface and to determine the proper timing and work type that is most appropriate for each payment section.
I know you're a busy individual. All this information has been really great today. So slowly wrapping this up for today, what advice would you give to agencies, whether at the state, county, city level, who are trying to improve the overall performance of their pavements?
Rather than providing some advice, I would like to highlight some proven practices that all highway agencies should at least attempt to implement. First, we should rely more on data and data analysis and less in individual experiences. While individual personal experience is extremely useful and can provide some unique and adequate solutions, those solutions are usually local. For example, what is a good practice in South Texas may not necessarily be the best solution in the Panhandle. So I also want to emphasize the importance of implementing a payment management system and a payment preservation program. While the payment management enables us to allocate our limited resources in an optimal manner, a payment preservation program can extend the life of our payments and can save us hundreds of millions of dollars. TxDOT has been running the so-called Seal Code program for years, and this is a model that is being looked all around the world as a model for payment preservation. Again, agencies should use more analytics and more use of optimization at all levels and implement resource allocation systems using system optimal solutions rather than localized solutions. Today, with implementation of systems such as Payment Analyst in Texas and its customization by a partnership with the state universities, Texas is leading the way in the nation in this particular direction. To other states, I would advise to have a look into TxDOT Research Program Model, which is a partnership between the Federal Highway, TxDOT Research Office, the various TxDOT districts and division, and the public universities. It is through programs like this that TxDOT has positioned itself as the leading transportation agency in payment engineer research and solutions all around the world. As I travel around the world, it is very interesting because as I give lecture, everybody recognizes Texas excellence in payment engineering. And everybody knows about the work done in the past by the likes of Thomas Kennedy, Ron Hudson, Frank McCallag, and more recently, the likes of Tom Scallion and Sohail Nazarian, among many others.
Dr. Perazzi, I appreciate so much you joining Move Your Assets today and sharing your expertise with us.
Oh, it has been a great pleasure. This is a subject that is very close to my heart. So I hope somebody can make good use of this information. Thank you very much.
I fully imagine they will, and we'll get you on again at some other point.
Thank you, Nick.
If you want to learn more about transportation asset management strategies that save time, money, and lives, head on over to agileassets.com. Once again, thank you to Dr. Perazzi for sharing his expertise with us today. I'm Nick Frank. Join us again next month for another edition of Move Your Assets.